Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And man, it's like such a depressing time as a sports fan in some aspects, Rodrigo. But how you been, man?
I know, I feel that kind of, but I've been good. Had a nice weekend. We went to go watch Suicide Squad, the new one. I liked it. It was pretty funny, pretty good action. Plot was kind of so-so, but we're also a good movie to go watch. Hopefully DC can get things going. It's been a long time. It's been a week and a half, maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks since we last talked. I went to Chi-Town, Chicago, last weekend, and that was pretty fun. We were there for 4 days, really. Got to visit around, you know, the city, went around Soldier Field, and they're actually playing the time that we were going around there. The Fire was having a game against Red Bulls, I believe. But yeah, it was a fun time. We had a good time there. What about you? What you been up to?
Well, that's good. But yeah, no, that's a good recap because we did took a break last week because it was kind of busy and Rodrigo was out of town. And so, and then my wife's birthday, so I was just like, dude, let's just skip to next week. So we had been recording pretty much every week for the last, 12 weeks? No more, because I think we're at like episode 20. So like 20 weeks. And I've had a few people ask me like, hey, I haven't seen an episode since like July 23rd. Well, my dumb self thought it would be cool to do some editing on that Anchor, which honestly Anchor is a great app to use, but I added some music that it literally said Spotify only or something like that. Didn't even think much of it, added it to the bag to be kind of cute, I guess, and for whatever reason they only are like the episodes only showed up on Spotify, which is great, right? Spotify is a great thing. However, like 99% of our listeners are pretty much from like Apple Podcasts or something else. So I've looked back and I told Rodrigo, man, nobody has listened to our podcast. And we had like two really good episodes that pretty much have been unheard. So the plan for me is after I upload and edit this one, I'm going to have to put up the new one or the past two. But needless to say, I don't know. I've been myself a little depressed. I told Rodrigo, dude, you know, CONCACAF Champions League is going on. But I think I'm so burned out currently with CONCACAF. And then there's no team that I really care about. But we can save the results. And obviously there's matches coming up too. But I wanted to start with something different. APL just started. La Liga just kicked off as well. As I've said a million times in the past, I'm a big Barcelona fan. I've seen them since like Ronaldinho, before Messi was even Messi type of thing. And I was so excited having ESPN Plus that La Liga was going to be finally in it, or it is finally in it. But at the same time, so depressed because, you know, obviously the team that I follow being Barcelona doesn't have Messi anymore. So I did watch the entire game, but I fell asleep for like 15 minutes in the between. But though I was able to, great team match. If you see any of their posts, all the posts are about like teamwork. And I get it. They're trying to make it. So it's like, hey, Messi left, please don't leave us type of thing. And it's true. I mean, they're still going to be one of the top three teams in the league for sure, right? And with that, going into the EPL, Rodrigo is a big Liverpool fan. And like I said, if you guys ever want to talk to him about it, you know, message him. He'll tell you about his experience of going to Anfield and, you know, everything that he loves about the club. And Rodrigo, I was talking to Christian from 442, and you know, a while back he was saying like how he doesn't really follow any teams other than Boca Juniors and the Dynamo. And to an extent, he basically just does Dynamo stuff because it's local. He's able to do the media, you know, go to the stadiums and stuff like that. But he does see how much EPL means just around the world, right? There's, you know, you can be a fan of any team. And I've said that, you know, how I got into EPL was through Man U. Just playing with, you know, kids in high school just like that team. And it was interesting. I was definitely not a big Ronaldo fan even when he was there. But throughout the experience, or my own experiments of trying to find a different club, was it like 2017 when Chicharito, I think it was 2017 when Chicharito got picked up in West Ham. And so other people that I know gave me crap because I went with West Ham, and I did follow them that whole season. But then it was like at a time that I was kind of like not interested in a lot of soccer. I don't know why. It's just some kind of what happened. But I challenged myself to like go back and, you know, be more into watching the EPL. And Rodrigo has convinced me a million times to be a Liverpool fan, but it just didn't seem genuine. So going with West Ham seemed like the place to go. So this season, my plan, Rodrigo, is to follow West Ham. And I did watch the entire game. I got to watch it because you told me that it was going to be. And I think this match coming up, it's also, I'll be able to watch it as well without having to do to go through like pirate streaming or anything like that. But man, so let's talk a little bit about Liverpool, man. I don't really want to talk too much, I guess, about West Ham. We can, but and how is you know, seeing Liverpool and, you know, somebody like you that's followed the EPL so closely the past few years, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's good that you're trying to get back into it. Like we talked off air, I guess. You know, it's kind of different since we're not there. You can't really follow them as close as we would like to. And for me, Liverpool, I you know, since we're young, we're always trying to follow the Premier League, and we ended up, you know, choosing different clubs, try to go through that. And then it's just kind of hard to like try to, I guess, follow and watch. But I think for me, the biggest thing has been Twitter. I guess since I found Twitter, that's, you feel closer, you know, with the team news, follow different, you know, news outlets and different things regarding, I guess, Liverpool and what they're doing. And you kind of gives you a little bit sense of like, you know, close to the team. Same thing with like Chivas, and then when you follow them on their social media, you know that those kind of clubs tend to post more than others, so you kind of get that more, you know, sense of the community as well and joining other things like that. But yeah, I mean, this season just kicked off. The big thing with Liverpool was who were they going to get, you know, what new transfer was going to come in. Gini left to, you know, the big side of PSG, who basically has everybody and everybody that everybody wants. It's on that squad now, including Messi. So that's going to be the team to beat now. You know, and there was a lot of rumors of Mbappe going to Liverpool or maybe Madrid. Looks like Liverpool is willing to wait for a free transfer. Madrid, on the other hand, looks like they don't want to, because they're not certain where he would want to go. So it looks like they might try to, you know, do a pretty good bid on him before the transfer market closes. There's a lot of news, you know, you see everything of Messi going to PSG, Mbappe's not happy, he wants out. I saw a stupid stat that there were, and this is how stupid things get, of like Mbappe not liking any post regarding Messi. And every other player had like 12 posts liked, or, you know, 6, 8, and Mbappe had 0 regarding Messi. So I think that's kind of interesting. Like, I guess, he's really not happy, or he's just not really into social media. But people try to find every little thing out there. But yes, I mean, Liverpool didn't only had one big signing, and that was literally early on, trying to get the Frenchman, Konate. Center back, trying to get that better, you know, once now Van Dijk and Gomez are back in the lineup. They've been doing pretty well. They had a couple scrimmages, friendlies, and Van Dijk, more than anything, he got the start alongside Joel Matip against Norwich. And yeah, it was pretty solid performance. I liked what I saw. I literally watched the whole game, you know, start to finish, and Liverpool just seems that they're on it. Got that clean sheet, which is really important, especially from the, you know, the last year they had missing their center backs and having, man, I can't remember. It was I want to say they were had like up to 20 something different combinations of center backs. We might have talked about that before on another podcast. But yeah, they had like, I think, 23 different combinations of center back just last season, which that was pretty rare. Norwich, you know, new team. Well, they're always back and forth going from relegation or the lower league to Premier. So, you know, they've tasted, I guess, the Premier before, but they just keep, you know, if they can't hold on. I guess a good thing, and, you know, we talk about CONCACAF here, Josh Sargent actually got to play a few minutes. I believe he went in the 77th minute or so. Didn't do, you know, as much. Obviously, Liverpool was already dominating, and they were just holding more possession at that point. But it's good to see, you know, one of the U.S. players being out there in the Premier now, coming from the German league. What do I have for Liverpool? You know, good news on their behalf. Van Dijk just signed a new extension with Trent, Fabinho, and Alisson. They all signed extensions, and I think, well, I was reading through an outlet that Liverpool actually had a game on Sunday, a closed door against Aston Villa. Pretty secret, private, that Jordan Henderson, Thiago, and others actually got pretty good minutes. They ended up winning 4-1 against them. And it looks like Jordan Henderson, he was the big question for this season as well, if he was going to leave, or that he was maybe unhappy, or some kind of rumors. And then the latest thing I heard on that is that they're planning to give him a 3-year extension with an option of a 4th. So that's big news. You know, you get your captain back. And for more than anything that he does on the pitch, for me, it's always been that leadership that he brings to the team. I mean, we even saw it, if you guys watched the Euros, we saw that Harry Kane was literally his shadow. And he's supposed to be the captain of the team. You know, he was the one actually talking to everybody throughout everything. Any little break they had, he was actually involved in all the talks, which, you know, that's one thing I like about him, especially during those PKs that, you know, unfortunately it didn't go their way. But yeah, man, it's been a lot of soccer lately. You know, we get all the leagues back. Everybody's excited, I guess, to see PSG and Messi and what they can do, especially for champions.
Well, I guess we'll go through a quick rundown on EPL, just because I think it's funny that poor Arsenal lost to the newcomers of Brentford. That was a big, I mean, I don't know if it's a big surprise, because, I mean, Arsenal has not been doing great the last couple of years. But it's definitely a shocker when, like, a brand new team comes and beats you 2-0. Man, you won 5-1 against Leeds. Leicester City beat Wolves 1-0. Chelsea won 3-0 versus Crystal Palace. Aston Villa. So the team that Christian from 442 decided to root for is actually Aston Villa. So I already told them how his season is over. I'm like, dude, you don't even watch. You already lost the first game. Just messing with them, you know. But they lost to Watford 3-2. Everton, the Toffees, they won 3-1 against Southampton. It was a Brenton beat Burnley 2-1. Like we said, Liverpool won 3-0 against Norwich City. West Ham United won like a really crazy, and that's another thing, that was a really crazy match. There's like a bunch of goals scored like in 10 minutes or something like that. But they beat Newcastle 4-2. Tottenham surprisingly beat Man City 1-0. And you know what they said about Man City, maybe you should spend another $500,000, see if you can score a goal. But poor guys, right? But you know, we just wanted to touch a little bit of EPL. It's not that we may touch on it all the time, but I think it was good to kind of talk a little bit about it, just because it just started. And again, it gives you guys, you know, if you reach out, you guys want to talk or want us to talk more about EPL, or, you know, me and Rodrigo have been kind of kicking ideas. I think CONCACAF, like, what we do is good. I wish we would get more feedback, because I do think, like, a lot of people enjoy it. But it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly what teams or what leagues we should talk about. And so me and Rodrigo were thinking, or, you know, kicking some ideas about what if we just, like, stick with the teams that we follow, you know, maybe talk Liverpool. I guess I would talk West Ham, maybe go to Chivas and Dynamo, because, again, those are the teams that we follow and are more familiar with. But, again, that's something, man, for you guys to give us some feedback on that. I guess with that, I did want to touch on Chivas, but you know what? I want to go straight to the Dynamo and just – kind of bent on the Dynamo for as much as we can. I guess I'll start. The Houston Dynamo have just been terrible. I'm one of those that in the beginning, I mean, we all know that like Matt Jordan, the GM that we have, is just an awful GM. The players that he brings, you know, are definitely not, they don't, not, I'm not saying they're all awful. That's not, I do not want to say that our players are awful, because I feel like there's a lot of our players that are pretty good. But it seems that a lot of, okay, rewind. People may say, you know, he doesn't get the money, which is true, right? So if you're a GM, Rodrigo, and I'm telling you, you need to buy 10 players, but here's $1 million. I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere, right? Like, it's not, if you don't have the funds. And, you know, of course, like you said earlier about PSG, you know, PSG just went full on FIFA 20 career mode. Did you just buy everybody? And literally three or four of those were like free transfers, which that's like amazing by the GM. Yeah, you made
this. Wait. Yes, but they spent so much money before, so that just makes sense. You know, you already bought the players you needed to before, and then you can pay the players.
So what you're trying to say is that that's what Barcelona should be doing, basically?
I mean, they don't have money. I was listening to the thing about Piqué, you know, Memphis, that Piqué had to cut his salary down just so they can sign Memphis and the other guys, Eric Garcia.
Well, that's what I mean, because they spent so much money. Like,
and just because they wasted so much money, I think, you know, and I don't know, like they didn't have a solid buildup of like, let's spend money and let's keep players and build players. And I think the issue with Barcelona, Madrid, and them, they just see a good player for one season and they just go all out and be like, hey, we need this guy, here's 80 million. And it's like, bro, yeah, we only asked for 10.
They play,
no, here's
they
80
pay
million.
Premium,
like, okay. No one's gonna say no, you know, like,
yeah.
So
but but in regards to Dynamo, you know, a few months ago we finally got a new ownership group come in, and Ted Siegel we trust. We see that this guy seems to have like deep pockets, seems like he cares to grow the team, he cares about the city of Houston, even though he's from like New York area. And he's, you know, been, again, it's all about words, right? I can see like the prettiest stuff and do the opposite. But from what he said, it seems like he's ready to provide, you know, the financial aspect, and not just the players, but, you know, when it comes to training facilities for, you know, the training staff, all this stuff to make the team better, which, again, it's all good, right? I mean, that's what you want to hear as a fan. But when you have like a general manager like Matt Jordan, that just seems to make like bad deal after bad deal, you know, I understand. Like, I mean, the most expensive player that we had bought in the past, I want to say, was Albertelli's, and the most expensive player that we sold was Manotas. We got like $4 million for him, you know, because of Tijuana. And obviously Ellis is right there too, but that money's not being flipped, right? Like, it's not like, hey, I just sold this guy for $4 million, let me invest it and get like maybe two guys that are worth $2 million each. It just doesn't happen. We get a bunch of loan players that are not, you know, all that great, and the coaching, this is where I think I'm the most pissed, because whenever they hired, you know, they got rid of Cabrera after winning a championship. You were with me when we went to go see the US Open Cup, you know, how fun was that? Yes, you know, all the matches were basically at home. Like, you and me, we went to go see the LAFC match, we went to PKs, and, you know, it was just exciting times. And obviously the final against Philadelphia Union, and the team, I don't know about you if you think the same, but that team was very like fun to watch. Because they may have been terrible defending, but like their attacking was just crazy. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, just talking back to that time, yeah, it was a fun time to watch. I think I even watched a couple of the games leading on to the final. Or, you know, we went to the semifinal and everything, but the atmosphere, the chemistry, I think it was all there. You know, it's when you look at this new team, what they're trying to put together, the pieces that they're trying to get, to me, they don't really make as much sense just because you're putting players from all over the region. I mean, crap, like Nuno Espiritu, the, you know, the new head coach for Tottenham. That he was from Santo. Wolves.
Yeah.
You know, everybody make not fun of him, but everybody like, oh, we're just gonna, when he was at Wolves, like, oh, we're just getting Portuguese players because he's Portuguese. But it made sense to him. You know, he followed that league closely. He got good pieces. They were top of their league. They made it to the Europa League. You know, that they had a good contending team. And then last year, due to injuries, and Raul Jimenez also had, you know, a big setback that they ended up not doing the best. But for him as a manager, you know, he's now coaching Tottenham, and Tottenham, they beat Man City, you know, and I think that's what we need. We need a coach that can actually set a team, put a team together with either similar regions, similar personalities, players, so they can all connect and have this good team atmosphere. Because, I mean, you know, not to offend any of the players or anything like that, but grabbing and picking players that you think they're good and they would do well, it's not the same as they're going to build a good team chemistry. You know, you have to build that to it. And I guess I'll go back a little bit here with Liverpool, since I've been following them a lot. What Jurgen Klopp does a lot is that he goes and he picks players that from past, same thing, from past teams that he's either coached, work with closely, looks throughout those players, and then those key players he'll take and he'll put them with similar background players, and he'll just make sure, like, hey, incorporate this guy, you know. And
but see, I think that's a good point. But here, what, you know, what I was trying to say about Todd Ramos is when he got brought to be the team, I was supposed for him to be, you know, I wasn't, well, I don't know if opposed. I feel like everybody deserves a chance. But I didn't think that he was going to be a good fit just because, you know, he spent 10 plus years being a U20, U18 coach or whatever. And it's very different when you have like the best players of that age group, right? I mean, the guy went to a couple World Cups, he won some championships with that age group. But then you can't do the same thing, you know. All those are small tournaments. You know what I mean? You know, like all those are set up so it's short tournaments, right? Like they play World Cup. It's like four, you know, or three group stage matches, and then you play, you know, three more other games till the final, basically. And you don't have to do a ton of rotation. You know what I mean? Like it's like, this is my best 11 against your best 11. Like, we're going to play this best 11 till I win the final. And usually that works, right? And short tournaments, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, in any World Cup, even now, like at a, you know, senior level World Cup, that's usually the case, right? You only switch whenever there's injuries or if there's like a red card or whatever the case is. And a lot of what Todd Ramos has brought is very similar in the sense of like, here's my favorite players. This is my 11 and that's it. Right. And then whenever, okay, yeah, we won a game. Okay, cool. Like, okay, we tied. Okay, we won a game. And then eventually, you know, it's a matter of time before, you know, all the teams are starting kind of slow. Right. So it's easy to like win a bunch of games in the beginning or lose a lot of games in the beginning. And eventually they all kind of settle down. And eventually you can see who's actually a good team. And having a 12 game non-win streak, basically, like we've lost and tied for 12 games, and it's been almost 4 or 5 months since the last time we won. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's literally the worst streak ever. You know, I mean, we've been in existence like 15 years, and for it to be the worst streak ever, I mean, that says a lot. And my big thing is, you know, you're talking about, like, I mean, you know, Liverpool's great. I mean, they have like one of the best coaches, right? So, you go from like a club that knows how, you know, he came from like Borussia Dortmund, which like youth is such a big and vital thing for them, right? And able to sell some of those players for good money and just keep developing them as they go. In this case, Tab is great with youth players to an extent, but he hasn't even showed it here because he hasn't even played those young guys. And then to me, there's no excuse when maybe year one was kind of like, okay, it's not really his players, right? Like they got like a Darwin Quintero, which they sold as like, this is a player I've been watching forever. If we were going to get a player, it's him. And he's not getting any minutes, you know? And then you had obviously an off season where you picked up players that apparently that you wanted, right? They have some kind of history with you playing in U20, which is, again, is the same thing. Just because you're 18 years old and you were good when you were playing with me, now you're 28, 30, like that doesn't mean that you're still good. And again, it goes back to just favoritism, right? I mean, we all play FIFA. We all play career mode. What's the first thing you do? You probably pick players, you know, that you like somehow liked, right? That they were probably good 6 years ago, but they're not all that great anymore. I mean, come on. I pick up Fabregas every now and then because he was still one of my favorite players and he's like trash now. You know what I mean? And so I feel like at the end of the day, it's hurting the team more to keep having this mentality of like, this is my 11, this is who plays, having no rotations. And when rotations are needed, the players that come in are terrible. But anyways, Rodrigo, what do you think about that?
So are you saying that we need a new head coach? New
man, yeah. Okay, so I am of the belief... You know, if it wasn't because there's a new owner, I still see them, to be honest, or to be fair, I see them maybe giving him another year. I don't know how long his contract is, to be honest, but I feel like they would maybe extend them. But now the way it's going, I think Ted is one of those guys that he's a true investor. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, there's true investors and the and soccer teams that actually are there just to make money, right? I mean, all these teams are investing a bunch of money. I mean, there's the dumb ones like Man City that spend a ton of money and sadly hasn't worked for them. But then there's other teams that a good investor comes, spends money, and they see some kind of benefit, right? When you go to a PSG is a perfect example, because PSG was a team, you know, kind of mid-table, lower table for the longest time. They went in there, spent money, and have been spending money ever since, like you said. And now, I mean, they were able to get freaking Messi on a free transfer. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know? And it's going to take a while before we ever get some kind of free agent that great to the Dynamo. But I feel that having somebody that understands that at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure Ted Siegel's favorite team is not the Dynamo. You know what I mean? Like before becoming the owner. So you're coming in, you're like, you know, this is a team, great potential, fourth biggest city in the U.S. I'm going to spend some money. I'm going to fill up that stadium. And I feel like that's his mentality. I think he understands it because that's the reason why he's starting to already put money on the stadium, upgrading the stadium, because I've been talking to people outside of it and it's like, dude, if he's putting money in the stadium, that means he wants you to pay more for your ticket, but he's gonna spend money on the team because that's the only way that he's gonna be able to bring people. And to answer your question, I think you have to get rid of Tab Ramos. Like you have to move away from Tab Ramos. Maybe, I mean, I think everybody on Twitter, if you kept up on Twitter after losing to Colorado 3-1, which I'm so glad I didn't go to that game, because I would have been so mad just seeing the team get destroyed. You know, it's just, we as soccer fans, when your team wins and when your team loses, it changes the way the rest of the week goes, right? Like you can be either happy or very mad. And, you know, after the fact and, you know, taking a few steps back, I think it just makes sense to Matt Jordan is not the only problem. I think Todd Ramos is not the guy for the job. And then even you can go as high as like the president, John Walker. I mean, he's been here 3 years. The guy still doesn't know anything about soccer. I mean, the guy came from the NBA, you know, and I understand they're trying to put like feels, but this whole change of logo like makes no sense for what you're trying to do. What is this? I've lived in Houston for like, you know, my whole life, basically. I had never heard of Hold It Down. Like, this is just made up BS, and I feel like they're trying to just, you know, well, I mean, I've heard the term Hold It Down, but I don't see it as like a Houston thing. You know what I mean? I feel like the H or something like that is more of something that obviously the Rockets already have. And it just seems like they're just hitting the wrong demographics. You know, like the Houston Dynamo have been trying to push for this hip hop vibe, but yet I don't see anybody like of that genre like at our games. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense. What, like, now they're starting to play a lot of like somebody told me, because obviously I wasn't in this game, Christian was like, they're starting to play like Ramon Ayala. Like, bro, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the fan aspects and all that stuff, you just got to bring players in, like sign, get a big name here, get something excited going. I mean, you know, let's pick on Inter Miami right now, and you know, they signed probably the most players, and obviously are going to disputes on the legality of the issues and stuff, but they're doing really bad. I mean, they're what, 16th on their table. So yeah, signing the best players doesn't guarantee you anything, but at the same time, they're players that don't really make sense to add, and just because they're older, you know. But like, the only one that to me would be good, but maybe not for that team, what they're doing, would be Pizarro, you know. But bring somebody like that to the Dynamo, so, or somebody with more experience, for a midfield player, that it's a good captain, or just a good center back, that's already a captain that has experience, but it's also a well-known player, you know, something else. I mean, they've tried to do it in the past, you know, but I don't know. It's just the players, they don't make sense. And then you bring in players to Houston, and to me, it goes back to the poor design or poor choice of a stadium. It's a hot, humid city. Nobody wants to play those 2 p.m. games in this humidity. Like, dude, they should have made that enclosed, have nice air conditioning inside, and you probably would get a ton better player response, you know, on the field, everything. And I'm not saying, you know, that's not really a home field advantage, you know, because players go play different areas. But I mean, look how well Atlanta has done, you know, in an enclosed stadium. They control everything. It's just, I think it's just better overall for the player. But, you know.
Wait, before you keep going, I have, do your art done on, right? Because it seems that the heat of Houston is not helping them either. How does Colorado, you know, somebody, they come from the altitude and like way different weather, and they still come and kick your ass at home. You know what I mean? It's just disappointing because you can't even use the weather to your advantage. Yeah, it's just very crazy when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just little things that when they were trying to make this team, I don't know if they just saw the practicality of it and be like, hey, this is cheap, let's do this. You know, location-wise, I don't know exactly what they were trying to do at first. There was big potential, like, hey, we're building a new stadium. But, like, you got to keep those constraints in mind. You know, it also rains a lot. You don't want to weather delays. You know, I don't know how many games I've been to where there's thunderstorms in the area. You know, we got to delay the game. You know, it's not practical. And that's one thing that you're not going to bring this big names when they start researching about the city. It's like, oh, it's humid, it rains a lot. Like, and we play outside. Like, you know, it's just one of those things, like, it does not make sense. Like, play inside. I mean, you know, it's not like you're practicing the stadium like other clubs tend to do. Now you have a nice big facility, you practice elsewhere. Stadium is just for game time. But that game time, you know, you need it to be in the best condition. I don't know. It's just a couple of things, you know.
No, there's plenty of stuff, and we could keep going on and on. And I mean, you go, one thing that you said, you know, you're in Houston. Like, you know that Hispanics are big here, right? I think, you know, for the longest time, we would joke around of how, like, we were like Honduras FC because we pretty much had all the Honduras or their best players, like Giotto, obviously Boniek is still there, you had Albert Deliz, obviously you have Minor Figueroa, there used to be an Alex Lopez, like you go on and on and on, and there are just so many of them. But it never showed in the stadium, right? Like only a small part of the Honduran community will come watch. I think now if you have Albert Deliz, they'll come watch. Definitely a little late because, I mean, now the guy's better known. That's why more people will come. But you have to understand and read the room. You know, like a big part of the community and Hispanic community here are Mexican, right? And at one point you signed, kind of like you said, they may have paid premium and they're like, why they would do this? But like they signed like Luis Angel Landin, like back in 2008. When the guy was like on fire for like a little bit and he was trash. Then you sound like Cubo Torres, which being a Chivas fan, I just never saw the guy as a good player. I think he was just very lucky. And he did score a bunch of goals for Houston for sure. But whenever you don't read the room, it's like, okay, I need a center back. How the hell do you find a guy from Zimbabwe to bring as a DP? Like, that just makes no sense. So you're spending DP money on a guy that on a guy that is from Zimbabwe, that if you go to 100 people from Houston, they probably can't even point Zimbabwe on the map. You know, again, not to insult anybody, but if you go, and I mean, granted, we're both Mexican, and unless you're not Hispanic, people think you're Mexican.
Yeah, and no disrespect to that, but honestly, when I first heard of Teenage Habib and everything, not gonna lie, and this is ignorant of myself because I've never heard of this player, I literally thought we were getting a teenager of like a promising status. Like, bro, this guy's like the next big thing. Like, I thought this was like a teenage Van Dyke coming to the Dynamo that we prospected somewhere. And like, honestly, I mean, no disrespect to him, I did not know his name. Like you said, there's players that we don't know, the coaching staff. Sure, they do their research, they plan it out and be like, hey, this is a good key player for us. But as a fan, you're like, who is that? You know, like, who are we getting? And I think Dynamo, especially here in Houston, the only player that you're going to get to attract people, and it has to be two or three players at this point, and they're big in their career, especially now, which it kind of sucks. You're going to pay really premium. But somebody like Funes Mori, you know, from Monterrey, a player from like Tigres, you know, if you're trying to strengthen your defense, it kind of sucks now. But even Salcedo would be a good option, you know. Chaka Rodriguez, I mean, would be a good option. You know, like those kind of players are still kind of neat. But like those would attract people here because they don't get to see them in Mexico.
Talking about teenage, I mean, again, I don't, you know, from what I've seen, Teenage Hadevi, he's an okay player. He's not DP caliber. I mean, yes, this guy played in Turkey or whatever. But I mean, if you're playing that much for this guy, or even take last season, or technically two seasons ago, but you had Kiki Struna, right? Another guy that kind of came out of nowhere, played in Serie C and Serie B, basically, with Palermo, like, and we paid him a bunch of money. When you literally have players like Hector Moreno, we don't even have to go that far. Hector Moreno went from like free transfer to free transfer, played in Qatar, and now is with Monterrey. He's hurt right now, but wouldn't that be a guy that you would have seen, like, hey, you know? And he spoke about maybe even coming to the MLS because it seemed like there was some Austin has some interest in him. And it's just like players like that, you know for sure they're gonna come. Like, you know, a player there, you know, there's so many. When Mexico comes and plays in Houston, it fills the stadium. The semifinal that Houston played against Canada, I mean, the stadium was full, you know, COVID or not. And for me to like pay money and spend, you know, my Saturdays to go to VVA stadium when it's COVID, like, you know, basically like
I'm risking it
exactly, risking my life to see this crappy ass team get beat. I mean, it's just demoralizing, you know. And like I was telling Rodrigo, like, it's like, I mean, I went from having three tickets the last 4 years to we were brought it down to keeping one, and now I'm pretty much giving them like, and if you look, do go to Twitter, man, it literally went up. Like, tickets have gone up. when you're the team hasn't done anything in the last 3 years.
No, they've done something. They've broken a record of most winless games.
Of how crappy they are. But all right, that's enough bending for me, man. Add whatever you want to add to this or anything else, and then we can call it a night, man.
What can we add? Just that, you know, I guess keeping it related to the CONCACAF that we used to normally talk about. If anybody follows any transfer, Johan Vázquez, which here's another thing, you know, people are always complaining about like, oh, Mexico's in the Olympics. Oh, they don't do anything. They don't win, whatever. You know, it's like you're out there. People are like, oh, that's pointless tournaments, Gold Cup, whatever. They literally recently had Johan Vázquez had a good tournament in the Olympics and he just signed for Genova in Italy. You had Macias from Chivas. Also, you know, got called up to the national team. He's been playing well in Chivas and he was sold to Getafe, which just they lost, I guess, Valencia this past weekend. There was somebody else I was thinking about.
Well, you know what? I guess to finish off, we did mention how CONCACAF Champions League played last week. And I think the whole tournament, it feels so weird because there have been so many big stops. And, you know, between quarterfinals and semis, that was like 3 months stop. And then now they play the first leg and then they play again in a month. I mean, it's just way off. But just to give an update, Monterrey beat Cruz Azul 1-0 on their first leg. And Club America won 2-0 against a lonely MLS team of Philadelphia Union. And those games will be played September 15 and September 16 to see who makes it to the final. But dude, I'm just gonna go ahead and cut it because I think we already probably taped for like an hour. But make sure again to follow us on Instagram, on our social medias. Look for Instagram, Twitter. I have been giving away Dynamo tickets, just because if I can make a game, well, why not? And people get to enjoy those great seats that we have, and there may be one or two more throughout the season, unless Rodrigo's in town and we can go catch a game, because Dynamo play FC Dallas next week and it's gonna be weird without Rodrigo there. But I think I'll go to that one. Me and my dad will probably go to that one if whoever can go. But with that, make sure you check out dynamotheory.com, check out Christian's podcast of 442, and keep crossing soccer borders.